Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Bardice & Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
We hope
you are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Kevin Akins. Part two.
And we're going strong. Hope you're listening to this. Hope you're getting something out of this. I just pray that your heart opens up wide and you can retain it all and carry it with you. We've gotten away from love so much in the world. Love has been painted so many different colors and has been said to be so many different things, and nobody really knows what true love is anymore. And I believe that today, the Holy Spirit is really drawing and calling His children back into His place with true love and what honest love, real love, biblical, spiritual love really is. And so as we focus on it just a little bit more, we've been talking about how we need to desire love. If we want to see the miracles of God back in our life, if we want to see God operate all the spiritual gifts in our life, then we need to have love in our life. Because without love, it's not going to work. Without love, it's impossible. Without love, it turns out of no good. Without love, it's no effect. So put love back into your life, and you're going to see all the gifts of God back in your life. We talked about how you must desire that love. You have to go after it. You have to desire it. You have to want it. And we just left the scripture in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In the last part of it, it says, this one thing that I have against you, you have all these great qualities and all these great things that are going on, but the one thing I have against you is that you left your first love. You left it. You neglected it. You left it behind. You have to desire love and go after love. And you cannot get from your grandmother or your papa or your mama or your daddy. You have to do it. You can't depend on somebody else to bring that love back into you. Marriage doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. Schooling, teaching doesn't do that. Church doesn't do that. No. The only thing that puts that love back in the place where you is, it's your relationship with Jesus Christ, period. It's your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, period. It's you and Jesus together alone, period. It's when you get face to face with the Lord. Did I make that strong enough? Did it get that clear? Get that in you, okay? So the second one is this. The second one is we must develop that love. Now we're going back after it. We desire it. We mark it. Now we need to develop it. We need to build it up a little bit more. We need to figure out how this is going to work, where this is coming from. So get your Bibles handy. I got some more scripture. Here we go. We're going to look at another thing. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to look at just a couple of verses here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is talking about brotherly love. And I want to be politically correct. I don't want anybody left out. I want you to understand this. When Paul's talking about brothers so often in his scripture, when he mentions brother do this, brother do that, not that I want you to change scripture, but you could put believer in that and it would fit. And it, there's not a gender mark in this anywhere at all. He's referring to somebody who's come along to be a believer. He's not talking about a gender, race in any way. He says, concerning brotherly love, concerning love between believers, you have no need that I should write to you. Look at that. How cool is that? Y'all got this down in church. You're really being good. You're being fine in church. You're the believer that's being able to do this. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. You're taught by God to love one another. So there is an instinct inside of you to love other people. Even the meanest and meanest of old, orneriest old guys still have a tendency to love something. They may love a child, a grandchild. I have seen it so many times where that man is just an ornery, mean old man, but you let his granddaughter walk into the room and he melts. You know, it's just the way that it is. And the best illustration that I can give of this, it just blows my mind how you can have this person, this guy actually is on my mind's thinking about it. And he can curse and swear and he's just rough and mean. He's big. He's monstrous. Stinks just a little bit, you know. But you let that little granddaughter walk into the room, and he starts talking baby talk to her. I mean, his whole vocabulary changes. And why does he do that? Because there is a seed of that love down inside of him. When you get saved and you get God in your life and you get Jesus in your life and you get the Holy Spirit flowing through your life, he will teach you love. Rely on that. Look for that. Look for the opportunities. Wow, I think I could show love right here. I think I show some compassion. I think I show some kindness. I think I could not be rude during this time. And you can begin to act on that and show that. So develop that. That's what I'm talking about. Work it, practice it, practice it, practice it, develop it. There was a saying of a coach of mine years ago in school used to teach that practice makes perfect. So if you continually practice wrong, you will be perfectly wrong. So if you're going to practice something, practice it right. If you want something to be perfect in your life, then practice perfectly doing right. Get back on track of what it is. Paul says to them, love one another. Look at this. He says, for you yourselves are taught by God to love another. Indeed, this is verse 10, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in the Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work your own with your own hands, to work 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 with your own hands. That's out of the Bible. That's not my opinion. That's God's word. God's word. Quit relying on, never mind, I won't go there. Just love one another. Look at this. To work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside the church. Our love is not just for those inside the church. Start setting the example for those outside the church. That you look at the last part of this. How come so many people neglect? We trust in everything else that he said. You love, you're being taught love by God. It's installed inside of us to follow after that. Look at this last part. That you may lack nothing. How come you're lacking so much in your life? How come you're, well, it could be because you're not working. It could be because you're not doing what you're supposed to be. You're not minding your own business. Whew, man, there's a sermon in itself right there. I told you, I can't take bunny trails today. I got to focus on teaching, all right? So think about this. The true quality love, if it's going to develop, you got to develop it for not just the people that you love near you that are fellow believers, but you've also got to love those that are not fellow believers. And you've got to set an example in front of them. Look, God sent an example to us. God said, let me show you how much I love you. You know where I'm going with this. Go to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to show you that it's the Bible, not me. First John chapter 4, and we're going right back to verse number 9 again. First John chapter 4, verse 9. God says, I'm going to show you an example. I'm going to teach you what real love means. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, you could say believer, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is what we're going to develop, that love. Let me tell you something. When people are mean to you, when people cheat you, when people connive things against you, it's hard to love them. You have to develop that love. You have to figure out. And the best way to do it, and I understand what I am telling you, this is truth. I've been there. I've done that. Sometimes there's people say this all the time. Believe you me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm going, I don't even know you. How can I believe you? I don't know if anybody else thinks that way or not, but I do. So I'm not saying believe me. I'm just saying I know. I know what I'm talking about. When you get into those places, what you have to do is you have to go all the way back to the basics. Come on. I love them because Jesus first loved me. I love them because Jesus considered me worth dying for. I love them because of what God did for me. I don't love them because of who they are. I don't love them because of what they're doing to me. I don't love them because of everything that's coming. No, I love them. Don't cop out and use that fake little tongue-in-cheek cliche that says, I love them because God says I have to. That doesn't work. That's nothing there. Go back to your first love and say, I love them because God loves me. And think about how much God loves you. Think, develop that. Bring that in. Those aggravations, those attacks against you, they are, man, I don't like using the word designed against you, but they are designed against you. God allows the devil's designs and works to come against you. He's going to protect you. Trust him in that. He'll cover you. Trust him in that. But when those attacks are coming against you and you feel that anger rise up and you feel that come up against you and you want to revenge and attack, you have to develop the love of God. That's when you got to say, no. And they're going to say, well, you're a sissy. Well, you're weak. Well, you're just a religious wimp and you're just using church as a crutch and using the Bible. Oh, yeah? Watch God walk me out of this. Watch God walk me out of this. Oh, and by the way, that's why you're in jail. Sorry. I mean, it gets tough sometimes. It gets hard. You're in jail. That's how come you're fighting that battle. Because you decided to settle your problems with your fist. You decided to settle your problems with your voice. And that's why you ended up where you're at. You've let the world overcome you, and you've pushed love totally out of the picture. You have to develop love. God gave us this example. He sent us his Son. Let me show you to another one. I'm going to go right back to 1 John, okay? If your Bible is still there, just back up to chapter 3, verse 16. It's another beautiful 3:16. It's a beautiful 3:16. Look at this. This is Jesus coming to this earth. Did Jesus have a choice to come to this earth? Man, that's a question for the theologians to ask someday. And that's about a two-hour Bible study on my part. So just ain't going there. Did Jesus have a choice to come to this earth? The answer I'm going to give you today, you research it. Yes, he had a choice of whether coming to this earth or not. But he chose to come to this earth because he loved you. Yes, I say it again. He came because he loved you. Did he love me? Yes, he loved me, but I'm trying to get it into your head so that you get true God's love back inside of you. Look at verse 16. But this we know love. By this is how we know love. This is how it comes about. Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We know this is love. Jesus said, I'm going to give it all up for you. I'm going to lay it down on the cross for you. This makes it clear for us one more time. If Jesus loves you enough that he decided to die for you, man, Let me go back up. Oh man, the Holy Spirit's just doing something to me. Let me follow the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Love hopes in all things. There's so many people today, and I touched on this yesterday, but I can't get away from it. The Spirit's probing me again today. The reason why so many people want to commit suicide is because they lose all hope. I have no hope in life. I have no hope of the future. I have no hope in myself. I have no hope with what's going on. There's no more hope in my life. Love hopes in all things. Love hopes all things coming into place. The words, it puts it into action. It builds a plan around you. It begins to show you. Love will show you how much Jesus truly cares about you. I love that song, and I was going to try to think. I love these songs that always come in my head, you know. And he says, Jesus died for me because I was worth dying for. Do you ever consider yourself worth dying for? It doesn't matter who you are in this world. It doesn't matter how far down you are. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how awful of a sinner you are. Jesus said you're still worth dying for. It doesn't matter how high you are, how upright you are. It doesn't matter how often you read the Bible. It doesn't matter how often you go to Sunday school. Jesus said, you're worth dying for. And we got to take that love no matter where we are. Pastors, if you're listening to me, in our position behind our sacred desk, we have to reach out and start developing the love that He wants to show us. We've got to develop that love in our life. Whether you're broken, you got to develop the love. Whether you're holy, you got to develop the love. Develop it. And this is what I'm going to go on to the next part, but you got to get this. Developing love never ends. It doesn't come to an end. Does the love of Jesus ever end? Never. Never. Does the love of God ever end? Never. Never. Will God stop teaching us how to love? Never. This is what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he said, prophecies will cease, tongues will cease. What is he saying? He's saying those are things that are coming through you. Those are part of who you are. But the greater point is this. His love will never cease. His love will never cease. Never. Yesterday I got a text after the show, and they said they want me to explain what it means when the prophecies will cease and the tongues will cease. That's for a different show totally altogether, but it's a good one. that's deep stuff right there. He means what he says, and he says what he means. Don't try to make it say what it doesn't say. All right? Yes, and I am a fourth generation Pentecostal Assembly God pastor, just told you that. Don't make it say what it does not say. Don't just think you know what it means. Go into the depth of that scripture and rightly divide that word of God. There, I said that. That's as far as I'm going on that one. Let's go to the third part, okay? Third point. Point number one, how does this apply to our life? How do the true qualities of love apply to our life? Number one, we have to desire the love. Number two, we have to develop the love. That's how it applies. Number three, we have to demonstrate it. We have to demonstrate it. But you can't demonstrate it if you don't desire it. You can't demonstrate it if you don't develop it. Demonstrate it. Keep working on it. Show that love to one another. It's how we show the world that we are true Christians. I'm just going to express myself, and if my face looks like it's angry, it probably is, but I'm just going to tell you. I am so sick and tired. I know it's a phrase, but I said it in. I'm sick and tired of seeing these people that call themselves a Christian one day and they're filled with hatred the next day. I'm like, are you really a Christian? Where's the love? Are you truly following after Christ? Where's the relationship? Are you truly following after Christ? Then why is there such a Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Hyde type mentality? You're one way one day, one way the next day. God says if you're double-minded, you're not going to His house. He says it's not going to happen. He says if you're double standard, you're not going to fit it at the end. You got to love the one. This shows other people that we truly are Christians that we truly are the disciples of Christ when we love one another. Oh, Pastor, that's just your mindset. That's just your way of thinking. Then go with me in your Bible to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning at verse number 34. 34 and 35. These are the words of Jesus. This is what Jesus tells you. This isn't the pastor's opinion. This isn't a denominational doctrine. This isn't something that is generated by man's mentality. This is the word of God. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. He didn't say try this. He didn't say, you know, if you'll start doing this, things will go better for you. He said, I command it. I command it. The next time that person is really throwing darts of accusations at you, don't say, I love you because God made me. No, say, you know what? There's a commandment in my head that says, I love you because I'm commanded to love you. I'm commanded to love you. Now take that into your own mindset and say, well, okay, if I'm commanded to love you, then I better start developing some love. And if I'm going to develop that love, well, I don't have any love in my heart for you right now. I am way too mad. You have no idea what they did to me in my life. And I am just, there's no love there for that. You've got to find it. You've got to find it. You've got to look for it. Go back to that first love. Get back to Jesus loves you because he died for you. This is a cycle. It repeats. Look at what he says. This is how you show them that you're a Christian. I command you to love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Let's stay in the Gospel of John and let's go down to chapter 17. Let's go down just a little ways to chapter 17. And I'm going to find verse number 20. I'm going to start with verse 20. It's how we show the world that there is a God and how that God loves them as much as he loves you. So many people are messed up by that. God loves others as much as he loves you. There's too many people today. Can I say it again, reiterate? I'm sick and tired of seeing people that think that God loves them better than he loves somebody else. There's nothing you can do that'll make God love you more than he already loves you. There's nothing you can do that'll make him shut the door and never love you again. There's nothing you can do that'll do that. God loves you, period. No matter who you are, where you are, what's going on in your life. You can say, but I have blasphemed God. I have cursed God. I have walked away from God. And all that did was make God cry because he loves you more. That's it. You're not going to offend God and make him get up off his throne and walk out of the room and drop the mic and say, show over. God ain't going to do that. Never has. And he's had a lot of opportunities to do it just from the characters we read about in the Bible, just about in past history in our own lives. But he has not done it. Just in America, how much God could have said, I'm done. I'm through. But God still comes back and says, I love them. John 17, verse 20, look at this. Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Those who are coming to me. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Wow. Man, if that doesn't develop the love inside of you, that's Jesus saying, I have my hand on every miracle of God in heaven, and I'm going to give it to you. How do we get that? How does those miracles come to us? How does good health, wealth, and wisdom come to our lives? Love. Love. Out of all the gifts that we get, those are good gifts. Those are incredible with what God wants to do through your life. But none of them will work without love. You got to have love. Love is the final source of it all. And I'm going to end with this statement. We're all in one. Our heart has the most powerful ability to do two incredible things. One will put you in the driver's seat of the blessings of God, and one will cause you to wreck and wipe out. You either love or you hate.
Come on.
And when you really get that relationship going on with God, you know what God does for you? He puts your love and your hate in categories in your heart. Your heart's going to have hate in it because he tells us to hate sin. He tells us to hate sin. And he tells us to be careful with that and guard that and watch over that. But he tells us to love too. So we've got these two incredible things that are meshing together in our life. And if you can start applying the love and let it develop inside of you and desire it. I want love more than anything else. I want to love my neighbor more than anything else. I want love more than wealth. I want love more than the new truck. I want love more than anything else in my life. I want love. And start going after the true Jesus. He begins to find it for you. Here's the prayer. Write down this prayer for you. God, help me practice the qualities of love, all 15. And if I don't know all 15, God, take me back to 1 Corinthians 13 so I learn the 15 qualities of love. And help me, Lord, to practice these 15 qualities of love. Help me, God, to continue to love others every day. Every day, help me focus on loving others. Father God, help me to live in the act of love continually in my life. God, today, I pray that we witness loving someone else and we can witness others loving others. God, let it just be seen. Let it be known. Let it be witnessed. God, we thank you for your word. Let your word come alive inside of us today. Change us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen. I had to get back to the basics.
I know.
I had to return to my first love.
Yeah. Yep. That's what it's about.
I thought I was finished.
Amen.
I thought I was finished, yeah. Pastor Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's more to my story.
Yes.
I'm not finished.
No.
I'm moving forward.
That's it.
In love.
That's it.
There's more to the story.
Amen.
There's more to the story.
Amen.
If you feel finished.
Yep. You're not done.
You're not finished.
You're not through. Not finished.
You're not finished.
Amen.
There's more to your story.
Amen.
Get up. Get up. Get up.
Amen.
You're not finished. Get up. There's more to your story. There's more.
You're worth dying for.
Invite love back.
That's it.
Get back to the basics.
Yes.
Get back to your first love.
Yes.
Jesus.
Amen.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell. From the beautiful Tina Dobbs. And from Pastor Kevin Akins. Amen. Y'all have a blessed day. And we'll see you tomorrow.
God bless you.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.